Hallelujah.
Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you.
Lift your hands one time to the heavens.
Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you.
Hallelujah. The difference between jumping around aimlessly and singing and dancing and jumping yourself into a testimony is the revelation that governs it. Don't you think this has been a wasted session of just jumping and rejoicing? This is an investment. You have made an investment that your children and your children's children will reap from. Who is receiving tonight? Your children and your children's children. Because you have rejoiced, your children will never have to cry again. I'm speaking to a believer. Because you rejoiced and danced before God, anything programmed for your future and the future of your children, you have already danced the dance now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to be leading us through a few sessions of prayer, and I want you to participate maximally. Tonight is the final night. We're not done yet. Hallelujah. Now, let me apologize for those in the overflow. Please, if you don't have a seat yet, just do your best. Be patient, and we're working with the officials to attend to you. We've exhausted the seats that we got. So please, I'd like you to be patient. Just don't be rowdy. There are people there to help you. And if the second set is exhausted, we'll get another one. So please, if you don't have a seat in the overflow, please be patient. Just find somewhere, connect to the service and be rejoicing. It's better to stand and receive your miracle. I think it's a good bargain. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So I just needed to say that, please be patient with us. The officials are working to make sure that we get as many chairs that will suffice for tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus was speaking and he said, he spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, he says, when ye pray, believe that thou receivest them and thou shalt have them. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray evermore, to pray consistently. He says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. Are you ready to pray? I'm going to be giving you a few prayer points. And those who are connected from across the globe, we're still praying, we're still worshiping. I'd like you to participate maximally. Pray when it's time to pray. If you need to hold hands with a neighbor to encourage you, you go ahead. But we're not just a people of praise. We're not just a people of the word. We're a people of prayer. Who is ready to pray? Lift your voice and shout this as loud and as clear as you can. Say, Father. One more time. Say, Father. I receive encounters that will solidify my convictions about you. I receive encounters that will drive away my doubts, drive away my fears, drive away my questions. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Give me encounters that make you real in my life. Let me not have to question your integrity. Let me not have to question your ability. Come on, someone is praying. Give me encounters by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give me encounters. If my faith will require a vision, give it to me. If it requires a supernatural experience, give it to me. If it requires a scripture being crystallized in my spirit, please give it to me. Strengthen my convictions. Let me not have to doubt you again. You are the God of all flesh. Nothing is impossible for you. Give me the encounter that drives away doubt, that drives away fear. Is someone praying? I want to trust you. I'm tired of believing you today and disbelieving you tomorrow. Give me an encounter by the Spirit of the Living God. Job said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Give me an encounter that drives away fear. Give me an encounter that drives away doubt. Give me an encounter that drives away inconsistencies. I want to be unshakable, unbendable in my faith. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. We are still praying. Some of you don't pray seriously. See, this kind of prayer that if your heart is not in your prayer, it will not even touch you. Talk less, bringing you a result. Let me ask a few of the leaders, four or five of you, please come. Worship team, you'll still be standing, huh? But just borrow them your mic so that we pray seriously. Let me teach you how to pray. Come. He said, teach us to pray. You don't just pray, you are taught to pray in a way that generates energy and fire and produces results. He says, the fervent, heartfelt, effectual prayer of the righteous. You're not careless and casual over your prayer. Doesn't produce that kind of result. We're still going to pray this first prayer point again. I give you the prayer point and they will prime your faith as they pray with me. And I want you to generate energy in the spirit. It's for a few sessions, but let it be an effective one. Are you ready to pray? The Bible says, but I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Many believers do not have encounters. It is the reason why they doubt God today. They are supposedly confident about God and what He's able to do. And the next moment, they are in total doubt and disbelief. When the man prayed and told Jesus, help my unbelief, he was crying for an encounter. The antidote to unbelief is an encounter. You can doubt what you hear, but you cannot doubt what you see. Are we together now? Are you ready to pray again? Everybody say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the encounter required for the next level of my spiritual journey, grant it unto me. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Encounters, encounters, solid encounters, destiny altering encounters. In Jesus' name we pray. I believe that as someone is praying, you are also receiving an impartation of the spirit of prayer and supplication. That every dead or dying prayer life, as you engage in this session of prayer, may fire fall from heaven upon your prayer life. May fire fall from heaven upon your prayer life. In the name of Jesus. Prayer point number two. Are you ready to pray? I'll read it for you, and then you listen once, and then you pray. Let my knowing you Let my loving you, let my serving you produce evidence. Did you hear the prayer point? Let my knowing you, if it is true that I know you, if it is true that I love you, if it is true that I'm serving the living God, let there be results in my life. I'm tired of living assumed Christianity where men doubt and say, where is your God? Someone say, Father. Shout it again, say, Father. Let my knowing you, let my loving you, let my serving you produce evidence. Open your mouth and pray. Acts chapter 4, 13 and 14. Acts chapter 4, 13 and 14. It was said of the disciples, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them. The difference was not just their education, the difference was that they had been with Jesus. Next verse. And beholding the man which was healed, they had their evidence of knowing Jesus. A life transformed. Listen, there are many of you, the reason why no one will get born again through your life is because your results are not compelling enough. Are we together? Results of increase, power, fire, grace, wisdom, favor. One more time, say, Lord, let my knowing you, let my loving you, let my serving you produce an undeniable evidence. Go ahead and pray. An undeniable evidence. 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 An undeniable evidence in my life. An undeniable evidence on my job. An undeniable evidence in my ministry, in my family. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
James chapter 4 and verse 7. James chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Read the remaining part with me, Glasgow. 1, 2, go. Resist the devil. He didn't say assume and he will flee. There has to be force to resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. Resist the devil and he will flee. I'm establishing the third prayer point. Everyone read after me if you're a Christian. 1, 2, go. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Are you ready to pray? Pray this one with all your heart. Say, I contend.
I contend.
with all the adversaries stopping me from making strategic destiny progress. I contend with every force, every power attempting to stop me from making strategic progress. Open your mouth and pray. Every force, by the power of the Holy Ghost, every force, systems, structures, wicked and evil men, dark powers, and demonic spirits, I contend. A great door and an essential is open before me, and many are their passing. I contend, come on, pray. I contend, Colonia, pray. Following online, make sure you're praying. I contend by the blood. I contend by the name. I contend by the word. I contend by the blood. I contend by the word. Every force, every power, every orchestration of witchcraft, of darkness, against my life, against my destiny, programmed to fight my progress, programmed to fight my advancement, by the blood of the eternal covenant, I come against you. I come against you. I come against you. I contend. I contend. I contend by the power of the Holy Ghost. I contend against every force, every demonic entity assigned by hell, assigned by Satan, against my life, against my progress, against Koinonia, against every family here represented. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. Satan is interested in everything God is doing in your life. He has to wait for the word of God to know how to attack you. He wants to know what God is saying in every season. It is on account of what God is saying that Satan prepares his arsenal. If God is speaking increase, he comes to attack you. If God is speaking influence, he comes to attack you. If God is speaking a higher level of the anointing, he comes to attack you. He depends on the word of God to fashion his system of attacking you. But the Bible says now, thanks be to God who causes us always, not sometimes, always, always, always. It is finished in Christ, but it is enforced by faith. Did you hear what I said? It is finished in Christ, but it is enforced by faith. By this prayer, I decree and declare, every spirit already programmed to make your 2025 miserable, in the name of Jesus, either by death, by accident, anti-progress spirits programmed at strategic junctions of your life, by the power that is in the blood of Jesus, I decree and declare, their demonic installations are hereby destroyed. Hereby destroyed, hereby destroyed, hereby destroyed over your life, hereby destroyed over your job, hereby destroyed over your marriage, over your children, over your family in the name of Jesus. These prayer points came by the Spirit. I didn't just write them. Number four. I like this one. I receive it for myself. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. This is what God is doing in someone's life. Remember ye not the former things. Take it as a prophetic word. Remember ye not the former pain. Remember ye not the former relationships, the former disappointments. Neither consider the things of yesterday, the things of 2024, the things of this morning, the things of last week. Remember ye not the former things. Here, the Bible says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Are we together now? Here's how the Bible puts it. It says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, it says, that it worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Then it says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. He says, the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Then he says, behold. Hold on. You know what it means to behold? To behold does not mean to imagine. It means to conceive as a reality in your spirit. Behold. See it with the eyes of your spirit. I do a new thing. Someone say a new thing. One more time, a new thing. For someone, a new thing means a new job. It means a new level. It means a new dimension of the anointing. A new thing. Now let me give you the prayer point. I'd like you to declare this. I announce and I decree that a new chapter is opened in my life. I announce and I decree that a new chapter, a chapter of victory and a chapter of new things. Are you ready to pray now? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree, I declare, I announce that a new chapter, a chapter of victory, a chapter of favor, a chapter of dominion, a chapter of power is opened in my life. Go ahead and pray. New chapter. A new chapter. Come on, Glasgow. Koinonia. Pray. A new chapter, a new chapter, a new chapter. Nevertheless, at your word, a new chapter. It will not be like yesterday again. It will not be like last week again. A new chapter, open in your life, open a new fire, open. I announce, I decree, I declare a new chapter. After this sound of revival, a new chapter open in my life, a new chapter open over my destiny, a new chapter open. In the name of Jesus, hear me, let me speak over your life. Do you know what it means for God to do something new? New does not mean another. New sometimes means you have never seen it in that fashion before. Never seen it in that fashion before. And I speak over someone here, a believer, a receiver, a determined receiver. In the name of Jesus, begin from tonight, back to back testimonies of new things. Testimonies of new things, new testimonies, new prophetic dimensions, fresh oil, fresh grace, fresh mantles, name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now I want us to take a few minutes and intercede for Glasgow. You have the map or the flag of Scotland. You will lift the ones for the others later on, but I'd like you to lift it high. There's gonna be a great awakening. There's gonna be a great revival in this land. There's gonna be a great awakening. And everyone who calls on Jesus, they will be saved. We'll sing it one more time from the depth of your heart. There's gonna be a great awakening. There's gonna be a great revival in our land. There's gonna be a great awakening. And everyone, they will be saved. Hallelujah. Listen to me. It will not be in our lifetime that the fire that was ignited before some of us were born, even if it is dead, God has brought us alive to bring it back to life. Are we together? Now, I'm going to ask Pastor Nat prophetically. Hold on, gentlemen. He's going to blow the shofar 8 times. 8 is a number of new beginning. And for every sound, we are speaking to the soul of Scotland. Hear the word of the Lord from the graves of the patriarchs who have died. Abel, though dead, yet speaketh. Their sacrifices and their covenants is still alive, even though their bodies are in the grave. And we're going to speak. Father, for the sake of your name, let there be a generation that will receive this baton. Let there be an emergence of prophets, an emergence of missionaries, apostles and pastors, men and women on fire. They will relive the days of the generals again. That Scotland, one more time, Glasgow, will be known as the epicenter of revival across the UK, across Europe. Hallelujah. So Pastor Nat is going to blow that shofar. Whether you are from Scotland or not, please, if do me the sacrifice of lifting up the flag. Only the flag of Scotland. That's what we want to see. We are presenting it before the God of all grace. And as he blows it, he's speaking not just to you. He's speaking to the soul of this territory. Opening up the 2 lift gates that has been closed by witchcraft and wizardry and covenants and compromises. We are coming by the blood of the eternal covenant, and we are speaking over the gates of Scotland that it be open heater and deeper. It's time for revival fire to be reignited again. At the 8th time, we are going to begin to pray and speak over this land and declare that never again would this land be barren of apostolic, prophetic, evangelical voices. Who is in agreement with me? Yes, sir. Shala barakatu sabragat. Hear ye the word of the Lord, Scotland. Are you ready to pray? We decree and declare over Scotland, let the King of Glory come in. Let the King of Glory come in. Lift up your heads, all ye gates, and hear ye lifted. Ancient doors, we come by the Lord of the Jesus' name we pray. Every other flag representing the nations of the earth, please lift it. Nigeria, Ghana, lift the flags as high as you can. We're about to pray right now.
Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus.
Hallelujah. What we are doing tonight is very prophetic. You are representing your nation. The Bible says we have been called from out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And He's called us and ordained us to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into light. We want to pray for the nations of the earth, right from Glasgow, right from Scotland. And while we are praying, please lift your flag. That's the sacrifice you are making over your nation. That every demonic plot over the nations of the earth represented, hindering the program of God, fighting the advancement of the saints, we agree as God's church that it be overturned now. Again, I'm going to plead with Pastor Nath. There's a reason why, you see, the shofar announces prophetic seasons. Hallelujah. As he's blowing that shofar, I want you to see your nation arising like it were in Ezekiel 37. Once a dry bone, dry bones, very dry. But the Bible says they stood up. There are nations that are dry economically. There are nations that are in debt. A lot of African nations, they are in debt. And if God does not come to the rescue, our children's children and children's children. You know it happened to the prophet who was late in the Bible. The children were about to go for the sake of a debt he incurred till he died. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. With all due respect, those who went ahead of us, for some of us, heads of government and all of that, they failed in many regards. Now the baton has been passed on to us. If we cannot do anything economically yet, politically yet, we can begin to speak prophetically over the spiritual climate of our nation. And so we are going to blow that trumpet.
Emmanuel, God is with us.
Over the nations of the earth,
He shall reign. He shall reign. He shall reign.
Yes, sir. He's going to blow it 7 times this time around. Once he blows it, we'll begin to pray. As he's praying, please pray for your nation. You can mention other nations, but mention the nation whose flag you are holding. And in case you don't have the opportunity to hold the flag of your nation, whether electronically or physically, go ahead and begin to intercede as the Spirit of God speaks the nation to your spirit. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead and begin to pray. We pray for Ghana, South Africa, Nigeria, the United States, UAE, China, Germany, Switzerland, Kenya, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Malawi. Someone pray. Congo DRC. Revival fire fall upon every nation, from Africa to Europe to the Middle East to the Gulf nations, the Caribbean, in the name of Jesus, the United States, to Canada, to Russia, to Australia, the ends of the earth. We decree and declare from this ground, we plant that fire, we
send up fire. Young men and women, arising by the anointing, arising by the grace of God. We pray over the economy of these nations. They will not go down. Let mercy come to the rescue. We pray over the political space, the security landscape of this nation. Where there's war, let there be peace. You are the Prince of Peace for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Now please look at me. I don't mean to scare you, but UK, I hope you know, with all due respect, and I'm speaking life, I hope you know that something is happening to your economy that is not the best. It can be better, but based on the statistics we have at hand, UK is plunging into a state of economic emergency. I'm not being a prophet of doom. We're only working with the statistics that are on ground. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, when it troubles one, it is intended to trouble all. We are going to intercede. Don't say, I am comfortable. Don't make the mistake of Esther. Her man's desire was to annihilate everyone. And Mordecai warned Esther. He said, don't be beguiled by the comfort of the palace. If you would not take advantage of the privilege you have now to intercede for everyone, it will start with us, but it will end with you. We are going to pray. Listen, when God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he came to Moses, his friend, and said, shall I hide this from my friend Moses? And he began to tell him about the imminent destruction that will befall Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what Moses did? He had an interest there because of Lot and his family. Even though Lot had left him, he began to negotiate with God. He said, God, hold on. I know you are compassionate. You are slow to anger. If there are 50 people, for the sake of those 50 people, will you not spare the land? He said, I will spare. And he began to list the numbers, 20, 40, 10. And God said, for the sake. I think there are more than 50 people in UK, more than 50 people in Europe who love Jesus and call upon the name of the Lord. Since we're in Glasgow, Scotland, I'd like us to pray for the United Kingdom. Father, for the sake of the elect, the economy of this nation will not go down. A time will not come where people will have to run away from UK because there are no jobs, because there's no food. We take authority over every antichrist policy, everything fighting the program of God, fighting the advancement of everyone here. Open your mouth and begin to pray. We pray for the government. We pray for the parliament. We declare wisdom. Wisdom in making the right decision. We pray for the financial advisors. We declare wisdom in the name of Jesus. The businessmen, the private sector, let there be wisdom in the name of Jesus. Wisdom and discretion. Wisdom and discretion by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom and discretion by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Over the UK, we decree and declare, for the sake of God's people, for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. We are still interceding for the United Kingdom. We are going to call upon the name of the Lord. Every policy, every lifestyle, every behavior that is going to shift our children to become like Sodom and Gomorrah, we arrest it right now. We arrest it by the power of the Holy Spirit, whether enacted as policies. We decree and declare our children will serve the God of their fathers. Are you ready to pray? Open your mouth, say, Father, have mercy. Have mercy, have mercy upon the United Kingdom. Influence the policies by the power of the Holy Spirit. That every policy that becomes enacted, let it be a policy that glorifies the Lord. Let it be a policy that glorifies the Lord. A policy that glorifies the Lord. A policy. In Jesus' name we pray. I had a burden last year during all the Sound of Revival editions here in the US and Canada to particularly pray for the children. I am personally concerned at the growing rate of autism, mental health. What again? All those health concerns. I'm personally convinced that it is not normal. I leave you to what you believe, but as for me, I don't believe it is normal. It is a deliberate plot from Satan. And let me tell you this, don't wait till you have a child who goes through. You need to see what a mother, a father with an autistic child has to go through. Some of you already have your children and you know you are trusting God for healing. You can imagine how inconveniencing it is. You are going to pray. You are going to pray. If it means you laying your hands on your womb, if it means you speaking, you are going to make a declaration to the atmosphere. We pray over our children in Scotland, in UK, the spirit of the age destroying their health, destroying their coordination in the name that is above all names. God has not given them the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Please intercede for every autistic child and everyone going through mental health crisis. We come against that spirit. We banish that demonic spirit. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Psychosomatic disorders. We come against you in the name of Jesus. The widespread mental health issue. We come against you in the name of Jesus. Autism. We come against you in the name of Jesus. We will have children who are healthy, vibrant, loving Jesus, serving the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please don't be tired of prayer. Now you are going to pray for yourself. Every gift of God within me that has been locked up and is not finding expression, I decree and declare tonight, right here, right now, let that gift, the glory of God that is locked up within me, that the nation should see and celebrate God in me, I declare, let that channel be unlocked. Find expression. Someone go ahead and pray. Prophetic ministry, find expression. Apostolic ministry, find expression. That entrepreneurial grace, find expression. Hostility of the spirit within me for my generation, within me for my territory, within me for my family, for my city, locked up, not finding expression. We unlock you by the key of David. We unlock you by the key of David in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Two more prayer points. Now listen, please. I believe in wealth and abundance. I really do. I believe that the program of God and the well-being of God's people will suffer grossly if you are financially incapacitated. I don't know if you believe that, but I believe it. You are a better Christian if you don't have any financial trouble in your mind. Mortgage issues, whatever issues. Do you know how distracting lack of finances can make and bring to your life? The distraction is too much. Hallelujah. And we are wise and intelligent enough to know that money follows value. Money follows productivity. But there is a prophetic dimension to wealth. A man can be helped by God. This is the advantage we have as the saints. Honestly, from the depth of my heart, I want you to pray. And I'm releasing my faith with you. I believe one of my passions is to see a vibrant body of believers who are not victims of economic calamities. It's a terrible thing when you see people who love the Lord incapacitated, great visions that cannot be executed. It took more than the will of God for this to happen that you see. It's flown on the wings of prophecy, but has been made possible because of the presence of the requisite financial resource. Are we together? You have heard me teach that the presence and the abundance of financial resources protect your integrity. When you are financially incapacitated indefinitely, you will most likely tilt towards the corridor of compromise. Resources can be used as a defender of your conscience, a defender of your consecration, a defender of your focus. I want to pray for you, and I want you to pray too. You are going to cry to the God of heaven, Father, you have placed grace upon my hand. It is not speaking yet. It is not bringing me the kind of financial returns that allows me the liberty to serve you. Let the narrative change now. Let the narrative change now. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Pray for your church. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. The days of begging and borrowing, let it be over. The days of compromise on account of financial issues, let it be over. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray. The level of financial resources it will take to live a life of dignity and then to promote the program of God, serving God with the convenience required. May that grace rest upon you. Take a minute and pray. Hallelujah. The final prayer point. This is for yourself. You are my glory, the lifter up of my head. My glory, the lifter up of my head. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 15. We are going to pray a prayer of restoration. Listen. It is impossible for a true awakening to happen without restoration. What happened in the valley of Ezekiel was not just resurrection, it was also restoration. To restore means to reinstate to the original state as it was before the decline, as it was before the depletion, until the Spirit be poured upon Joshua Selman from on high. Then it says, the wilderness, my God, the wilderness will be counted for a fruitful field. and a fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. Who is ready to pray? Father, by your spirit, let there be a restoration. Every wilderness in my life, let it be turned to a fruitful field, and every fruitful field be turned to a forest. Go ahead and pray. Every wilderness, every wilderness in my life, be counted for a fruitful field. Be counted for a forest. Be counted for a fruitful field. Be counted for a forest. Be counted for a fruitful field. Be counted for a forest. Restore the glory of God upon my life. Restore the glory of God upon my finances. Restore the glory of God upon my health, upon the ministry, upon my family. Restore every lost glory. Let it be restored. Let it be restored. Let it be restored. Let it be restored. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You're going to shout amen 7 times. After that, you'll be seated. This is drilling you into a new dimension in the spirit. You will never be the same version that came here. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready to shout amen? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Please be seated. God bless you, gentlemen. Please be seated. Please be seated. Allow me for the minutes that we have left to give you my final charge for this conference. While Men Slept, Part 3. I'll be teaching on sustaining revival fire. Like I did in the morning, I will give you by way of summary the keys that I have learned. By His mercy, I have been a student of revival. I have studied the moves of God. I have studied the character of the Spirit in birthing, igniting, and sustaining revival fire. And from the bits that I have learned, I want to share with you as a final charge the precepts upon which revival lasts, upon which it is sustained. We'll do that very quickly. The Lord will help us. Leviticus chapter 6 from verse 12 and 13. Leviticus chapter 6, 12 and 13. It says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereof the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13. It says, the fire shall be ever burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Shout amen if you believe that. From a standpoint of revival, our mandate is to keep the consciousness of God and His program alive across every assigned territory. Listen, from a standpoint of revival, we have the singular assignment of keeping the consciousness of God and of His program alive across every and any territory you are assigned at. That means you have a mandate by God, from God, to protect God consciousness, to see to it that in your lifetime and under your watch, your territory, your generation does not forget about God nor ignore His program. We have a mandate to keep the consciousness of God over Scotland, UK, Europe, to keep it alive and to keep the consciousness of His prophetic program alive in our assigned territories. Number 2, the second mandate we have with respect to revival is to ensure that we prepare the next generation. Every generation must, in addition to being effective, must prepare the next generation to host and to preserve the move of God. Please look at me. God is generational in his dealings with men. He is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When he sends a word to Jacob, he intends that it be lighted upon Israel. God never deals with individuals and ends with the individuals. He is always transgenerational in his scope. Are we together now? So when God is talking to one man, he's talking to a nation through that man. When he speaks to Israel as a man, he's also speaking to Israel as a nation. Satan is also transgenerational in his dealings. So he will program a system that will outlive and outlast the people who are currently alive. When Satan is planning over a territory, he thinks of the third and the fourth generation. Now, one of the major mistakes in the revival's past was that they did not focus on passing the baton to the next generation. Are we together now? Here and there, they found people around them who were zealous, but they were not intentional in preparing the next generation. Please look at me. Nobody carries revival fire as an individual on behalf of a generation indefinitely. No matter how yielded you are, a time will come when your program with God, even if you are still alive, your program with God will be finished and you will need to pass the baton. Now, let me tell you the deception with fame and impact. Impact, as powerful as it is, can be very distracting. You can be so distracted making impact that you forget that one day you will not be on that stage. Once upon a time, a stage like this was occupied by people who have gone to be with the Lord. We were not born then. And for some, we're still very little children. But today, God has granted us the grace. We are the ones on stage today. And if Christ tarries, whether we like it or not, one day, there will have to come another generation. Now, whether or not the generation that emerges from us become effective in keeping that revival fire, it depends on the structure that we put in place. Are we together? Most believers, the church particularly, is not transgenerational in our scope. Especially with all due respect, the church in Africa, we hardly think transgenerational. We want to exhaust everything around the individual. And when that individual departs, the move dies. Because it was not built around a system for continuity. I want to show you a few keys. You can preserve the move of God. You can preserve revival fire. One of the things I forgot to say in the morning was that revivals do not only die because of demonic attacks. It can die when the fire is not passed. Satan does not have to attack a person for the move of God to die. He most often would do that. But even if he does not launch an attack, by reason of old age, depletion of strength, an exhaustion of assignment, the move of God can die naturally with an individual if he does not pass that baton to the next generation. Number two, you do not have to wait until you are old to start mentoring the next generation. Let me tell you this, mentorship takes time. When you begin to mentor people when you are old, you've started too late. Did you hear what I said? So what happens particularly among church leaders is that we spend decades of our lives making maximum kingdom impact without thinking of what happens when we're not there. We don't even imagine it, and then we allow the gap between the person who is being used by God and the next person who should be used by God is so wide, he cannot pass the baton to the person because he did not pay attention to mentor, to build, and to train. This is true for businesses. This is true for ministry. This is true for government. We are not succession conscious. To begin to prepare the next generation does not mean you are advocating death for yourself. You can be alive while you watch another generation excel. Are we together? Jesus did not have to die before he started preparing the apostles. He came as a pioneer of this new life. But way before the matter of the cross was there, he was doing two things. He spent his life doing two things. Number one, doing all the things that revealed the love of Jesus, culminated in his death, burial, and resurrection. But remember, every other time, he was about mentoring and building the people who would take that mandate. Can I tell you this? Jesus died, but it was not his death that made the gospel spread. Those he trained, those he raised, those he empowered. Are we together? They became the ones that gave continuity to that assignment. Whether you like it or not, if you look at the body of Christ from a spiritual standpoint, I announce to you sincerely, within the next 5 to 10 years, there is going to be a generational shift. It's already happening. Many of the fathers are already seeing the formation of that cloud. They know their time is almost there. But the challenge is that there is a serious problem with continuity and succession. You find anointed people, great people, vibrant people, but they stand alone. They do not have an army of men and women they are preparing. You are more powerful and effective when there are people who you can replicate your spirit, your mindset, your consecration to. Are we together now? If we do not know how to preserve revival fire, we can jump all we can, sing, dance, pray, and then the fire remains hot provided we are alive or on the scene. If for any reason we step out of the scene, there will be a generation that does not understand the ordinances of power. So you find people who are ill prepared, being forced to occupy positions in ministry and life. They were available, but they were not equipped. And so now they try to wear shoes that are far bigger than them, and they keep experimenting while they are on stage. And that amateur manifestation kills the fire. We must begin to invest in continuity. And I want to share with you, by way of summary, a few keys I have learned from scripture, from the privilege of mentorship, and from watching those who have got it right. Pray in the spirit in 1 minute. This is a very powerful key. It preserves the move of God. The Bible says the fire upon the altar, most time we use it to connote prayer, but it should not just be about prayer. He's saying if the fire is going to remain, you must find a way of adding wood every day, adding oil every day. That means while you add a particular log of wood, while it is burning, you start preparing the next one, because efficiency will make the current one burn out. Are we together now? There are a few keys I've learned as to sustaining revival fire across a life, a family, and a territory. Let me list for you a few of them. Number one, you want to preserve the move of God. The first key that is required is that you must create a system for strategic continuous prayer. You must create a system. It has to be systematized. If prayer is not systematized, the move of God in any territory will die. People should not just pray when they want to pray, when they feel like praying. There has to be a system designed by those who are on the scene now that can help everyone to appreciate the culture of prayer. A generation that does not pray is a generation that will kill the fire they have been given. Are we together? He spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray. I can be a prayerful person as a man of God, but if the people around me are not prayerful, they will not be able to step into the shoes. Are we together now? Families must create a system of prayer. Individuals must create a system of prayer. Communities must create a system of prayer. It was said about the apostles that they went to pray at the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer. It is impossible to preserve the move of God when you do not have prayer systematized as a culture. Prayer must move beyond a ministry and become a culture. Please look up. When you give birth to a baby, how many of you know that the baby can suck, but the baby cannot eat? The baby is not trained to suck, but the baby must be trained to eat. Use the spoon, fork, and knife. Are we together now? And it's the responsibility of the parent or the guardian to start teaching the baby. You don't assume that because the baby sucks successfully, it means that the baby can eat on its own or on her own. You begin to teach the child. With many mistakes, the child begins to learn how to eat. Same thing with walking. Same thing with talking. That's how you build people. It takes a while. Most believers do not have prayer as a culture. They pray when things go wrong. They pray when there's an emergency. Every time there's a negative news, then they pray. It's a very destructive orientation to pray only when you are in trouble. If Satan knows that the only time you pray is when you are in trouble, he will temporarily avoid trouble from coming to your life. Not because he wants you free. He wants to kill your prayer life properly. And so you don't find the incentive to pray. Prayer must become a culture. The same way you eat, the same way you take your bath. Are we together now? You must train yourself. Families here represented. Create a system for consistent prayer that the fire upon the altar will burn day and night. Teach your children to pray. Don't just take them to school. You taught them how to use apps. They can use it very well right now. Some of the children as young as 5, 6, 7 years are so learned because you taught them. He said, teach us to pray. Part of the responsibility of parenting at any level is to mentor your children to see the value of prayer. Teach them to pray. Teach them to pray. Every family here represented must be a praying family. As a culture, take away sentiments and emotions. As a culture, you wake up every morning, thank you, Jesus. Shapranta kaparato siata. It's like a register you must sign every day. Who is learning? When you keep the prayer fire blazing, you have kept the revival fire blazing. When the prayer fire goes down, the revival fire also goes down. Do not leave the prayer ministry or the prayer culture just for men of God, apostles, prophets, or prophetic intercessors. Prayer according to scripture is for everyone. As a worker in church, pray. As a banker, pray. A professor, pray. A medical personnel, pray. My cousin is a medical doctor and he shared something with me. I'm sure he's probably following. He shared something that was very touching. I think a few weeks ago. He carried out surgery on a patient, according to him. And when he was done carrying out that surgery, while the patient was healing, the spirit, the demon spirit in the patient manifested. Can you imagine that? While the patient was still under the influence of anesthesia, the demon spirit manifested and started shouting and said, I told this person not to come here. And he said, I thought I would only see that in church. Provided you carry fire, you will be a threat to Satan. Whether in the banking hall, whether in the hospital, fire is fire everywhere. Did you hear what I said? You don't have to come to church for fire to be fire. Fire is fire everywhere. In your home, it is fire. If it's prayer fire, it will produce the same results. The culture of prayer. Write that down. It is the first key that preserves every move of God. The culture, not just the ministry, it must be the culture of prayer. Let no 24 hour pass by without you lifting your voice and praying unto the Lord. Worship, intercession. declarations, spending time with Him. Number two, you want to preserve revival fire. This is something I'm hoping very soon, when I begin to write my books, one of these will be translated to a book. We have to leave this for a generation to learn. Number two, are you ready? The second way we preserve the move of God and we preserve revival fire is to insist on the regular convergence of believers within that territory. A regular convergence of believers within that territory for the purpose of transformation, for the purpose of learning the word of God, for the purpose of growth and empowerment. Whether it's through the church services, special conferences, it is impossible to keep the fire burning if believers do not converge regularly. Maybe not every day, but frequent enough to keep the corporate fire burning. Notice that when Satan wants to fight revival, he also fights the coming together of the saints. The Bible says to neglect not the gathering of the saints as the manner of some. Listen, I believe in the internet and the possibilities that come with it, but it should never replace the physical corporate gathering of the saints. There is something that presence does that the internet cannot do. Hallelujah. So we must pray for the churches in Glasgow, pray for the churches in Scotland, that those cathedrals will no longer be empty, that God will stir. Did you know, hold on, it is amazing that a show or any kind of secular program can be put together, and while people are paying, the place will still be sold out. As expensive as it is, and as much as we complain that the economy is harsh, you find people queuing from morning till night because so-and-so is coming to perform. Are we together now? So it's not that people do not have the appetite to gather. It's that the fire is not burning hot enough. When the fire burns hot enough, you don't have to coerce people to come. For where the carcasses are, the Bible says, there the eagles will gather. Who is learning? The regular convergence of believers. What happens when we are gathered together? Fellowship. It becomes a time of structured mentorship where we learn the ways of God. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, and they will feed you with knowledge, they will feed you with understanding. It's important that the average believer is structurally mentored into becoming a matured apostolic Christian. That happens through the possibility of corporate gatherings. Let me encourage you, do not ignore the gathering of the saints. You must connect to a spiritual family for your growth, for your vibrancy. Even if for any reason you are not able to make it on site, maybe for your job or your engagement, make sure that you are in touch with a spiritual family. God blesses people as they are connected to families. Hallelujah. You know, people testify, God used apostle to do this and that, and I'm really very honored and humbled. Many times you see me just keep quiet. The greatest testimonies that touch me the most, the testimonies that touch me the most are testimonies of transformation, not just healing. For someone to say, this was the version of me that came, now look what God has done in and through my life. It is very humbling. That is the power of corporate gathering. Let me speak to every parent here. Don't go to church alone. Encourage your children. Don't force them. Sell them the idea of allowing themselves to be structurally mentored. Let me tell you this. If you leave your children to serve the devil while you serve God, they will frustrate you and frustrate the results that should come from your godliness. Are we together? Number three. The third way we preserve revival fire is through the open display of miracles, signs, and wonders. There must be an open display of the power of God. How many of you were blessed by the miracles that happened this morning? Did it inspire your faith? That's what happens when there is an open display of the power of God. How do you deny someone who stood up from a wheelchair? Not just that he said headache, is it gone, is it not gone? You see notable miracles. Can I tell you this? Ladies and gentlemen, we must trust God to preserve the miracle working power of the Spirit upon our lives. For as long as all we have to say are nice intellectual sermons with no anointing, no grace backing them, our pews will remain empty. We have to trust God for grace. The Christian faith was built upon spirituality, signs and wonders. You have not fully preached the gospel until there are signs following. I vowed unto God that I will never come and waste the time of a people preaching English and just talking intellect. We will communicate the word of God as articulate as we can, but we'll trust that the power of God moves behind the frailty of our words and brings performance to everyone who is there. You believe that for yourself, say amen. Amen. If you're a man of God and a woman of God in ministry here, any kind of ministry, worship, prophetic, prayer, apostolic, please trust God for grace, not just to have revelation of scripture. Don't excuse the absence of power. Don't say, I'm just a teacher, I'm not really a sign and a wonder. There's no such thing as that. They go hand in glove. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The generation that restores power is the generation that preserves the move of God. A restoration of power is a restoration of revival. Who is learning? So we must trust God for grace. And that means we who have been helped by God a bit to understand the ordinances of power must not hide the secrets from anyone who is willing to learn. We must be able to share with as many people who are serious and interested. They must know how to engage with the Holy Spirit so as to derive power, genuine apostolic power, power to heal, power to speak and watch it happen. We cannot hand over an assignment to a generation that does not understand the ordinances of power. And let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, if God has called you particularly into the apostolic and the prophetic ministry, you may have a good sermon, but wait until you are endued with power from on high. You will give validity to the speakings of God through your mouth. Are we together now? How many of you listening to Pastor Nathaniel Bassi know that he's not just a skilled worshiper, that he's a prophetic worshiper with power, with liberation, with signs and wonders? Because he did not just wait to receive songs, he also stayed to receive power. Someone shout power. This is your final night. Shout it like you need it. Power. Number four. The fourth way we preserve revival fire, we preserve the move of God. I said that earlier, but let me repeat myself again. There has to be an intentional mentorship of younger believers and ministers to ensure continuity. Write that down. An intentional mentorship of younger believers and younger ministers. You don't have to wait until you know everything to begin to help someone. That which you know, that which you have found, there has to be intention in it. If Christ tarries, is my prayer that by the time my time is done on earth, I would not just have one or two replications of Joshua Selman, that there will be so many people who would have carried that grace, that spirit, and that understanding. One man, Moses, replicated his spirit upon 70 people. I said it last year, let me repeat it again. God has granted us access to be known and to be celebrated, but the days of celebrity Christianity is over. God is interested in witnesses, not just celebrities. He gives us influence, that is true, but the purpose of the influence is to frontier his program. Are we together now? Start training someone as God grants you grace. You are a businessman. Don't go to your grave with those uncanny kingdom ideas. If you cannot find someone, immortalize those ideas by depositing them in books. Let a generation come and read of your persuasion. Let them read of your covenant. Let them read of your consecration. Bind it in a book. And let someone learn the ways of God. We have been mentored today by many who have joined the cloud of witnesses. They knew they would leave one day. And so they documented their persuasions. The much that they knew about God. Now we are able to glean upon that which they documented and add to it grace upon grace to do the things that we are doing today. Someone once asked me and said, Apostle, why have you not written any book? Be patient. I'm going to write many, many books. Many. Let me assure you in advance, none of them will be nonsense. None of them will be nonsense. Are we together? You will read books that will stir up a revival right there. It is my prayer that people will begin to read those books and end up in a retreat. Because of the deposit of fire that would be invested. That it will be like the Welsh revival. Upon reading what is happening, documenting a man's dealings with God, that fire just engulfs you right where you are. That from the office you go straight to the secret place and come out there after 3 days with an encounter like Moses. We must be intentional. That's the reason why we labor to run the school of ministry and some of these things we do. It's an attempt to deposit the little or the much that is put in us, that we've discovered, that we've refined, that we're deploying right now while growing ourselves. We are not waiting until we are made and until we are perfected. The much is done in us. We can at least start with someone. Impact is one person at a time. Don't wait until the day you have access to everyone. You understand character. Start teaching someone. You do not understand the dynamics of the anointing yet. Start with the understanding of character that you know and have. There, if not managed, there is going to be a gulf between one generation transiting to glory and another who are waiting to receive the baton. Because you see, the sons of the prophet were only interested in being identified as the sons of the prophet. They were not interested in carrying the spirit of Elijah. They were happy and comfortable to be called the sons of the prophet. But the proof, the evidence that they were sons indeed was not there. But there was one man. He was not part of the sons of the prophet, but he was hungry and desperate enough to carry that grace. There was no prophecy around him that he would be a prophet. In fact, he was a farmer. You call him Elisha. He eventually became the one who carried that mantle, that grace. I'm praying for someone here. Someone who is ready to learn, who is open to be mentored. May you begin a journey tonight that ends you in a heavy deposit of grace. And I pray that as God helps you, may God also use you to lift someone else, to raise someone else, to empower someone else. In the name of Jesus Christ. Intentional mentorship of younger believers and ministers. 2 Timothy 2:2. You can write that for a reference. Number 5. We have to hurry up. The fifth way we preserve revivals and we preserve the program of God. Are you ready? We must contend for kingdom influence. We cannot preserve the program of God like I taught you yesterday night if we do not contend for kingdom influence. What is kingdom influence? God's people being elevated to a point where their voices matter. Are we together now? We need believers to be stationed strategically across the mountains, the spheres of influence, so they can advocate, protect, and defend the program of God. I spoke to a woman yesterday. I think she's here somewhere. The ambassador, an ambassador of one nation in UAE. And whilst I was, oh, that's her there. God bless you. Let's appreciate her. And whilst I was speaking, I said, these are the kinds of things we want. People who are born again, who love Jesus Christ, but are also placed in strategic positions to defend the interests of the kingdom. The church can preach, but defending the faith takes more than preaching. You will need a person with a strong voice, influence enough to say we have to stand for this and that until Jesus is glorified. And I pray for you, for someone who came here. We will not all be standing here on the pulpit. We will not all be Joshua Selmans and Pastor Nathaniel Bassis, but everybody can contend for kingdom influence, to be elevated to a position where your voice matters. Let me pray for you. Every power fighting your influence, fighting your voice, to silence your voice upon the mountains so that it will not be heard, I decree and declare that force is banished right now. Some of you, on account of your attending this conference from yesterday, God will give you jobs with international organizations and elevate you to a point where you will single-handedly decide the destiny of nations. I prophesy that to someone who understands the power and the value of influence. Receive it in the name of Jesus. On account of the kingdom, some of you will be elevated to managerial positions. Some of you who are in ministry, God will give you a voice. He will lengthen your cord. You will be strong in stature until you can speak His purposes to the nations, and then they will listen to you. You believe that? Say amen. Influence is powerful. Let me tell you, when it is used properly, it brings great glory to the name of the Lord. I believe in kingdom influence. It takes more than anointing to birth the purposes of God. A generation must desire to hear your voice. They must pledge their loyalty to your convictions. You know what influence is? The ability to cause men to buy into your beliefs, into your value system, into your ideologies without using force or cruelty. We need influence. We need influence. The church should not just be zealous towards God. We must be men and women of influence. Here's what I always tell people. Imagine if Michael Jackson ever said Jesus is Lord. I will tell you this. More souls will be won by that statement, even if it were a mistake, than many crusade grounds put together. You know why? Because when people believe in you, they don't care whether you are right or wrong. They peg their loyalty to your convictions. If you go left, they will move left. That's how malleable men are. As strong as men are, they are emotionally fragile. They want to look for people who model for them a life they desire. And I'm praying for someone here. May God elevate you so that you become a model of godliness, a model of wisdom, a model of favor, a model of power. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Let me give you the last key and then we'll pray. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Who is learning so far? Number six, and that will be the final charge. The sixth way we preserve the program of God is through the open display of love. Write that down. Don't assume you know it. An open display of love. Love beyond culture. Love beyond religion. Give us Matthew chapter 4, 5 and verse 45. Love is a powerful instrument of kingdom advance. Matthew 5, 45. Galatians 6, 10. Any of them you find, please give it to us quickly. Matthew 5, 45. Galatians 6, 10. The Bible says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Read with me. One, two, go. For he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Galatians 6 and verse 10. This is the kind of benevolent God we serve. 6, 10. Galatians. As we have therefore opportunity, he says, let us do good to how many men? Glasgow, talk to me. How many men? All men, especially they who are of the household of faith. Let me tell you this. We have to be able to build an orientation that serves good and serves love to all men. The focus should be believers, but it should not stop at believers alone. There are people, the only gospel they will understand is the gospel of love. The gospel of power may not do much for them. The gospel of wisdom may not do much for them, but the gospel of love. Love demonstrated as selfless giving. The giving of your time, your energy, your resources. We do a bit of this, and it is amazing to see what happens. Some of those communities are Muslim communities, and as God grants us grace to reach out to them, they know we are Christians, they know we love Jesus, and they wonder why we are that benevolent, and we are not trying to twist them into coming to Jesus. They know that we love them genuinely. Love is a powerful language. All nations, all tribes, all people understand that language. It's a universal language. There must be an open display of love. A generation that wants to sell God by hate will be a frustrated generation. Are we together? We must preserve our values, our covenants, and our consecrations, but not to hate on people. The campaign on hating on people, whether online, offline, just because of the difference in affiliation, will not get the job done. We are not mandated to hate people. We are mandated to protect our values, to build a company that secures our convictions. But we must be able to extend love, charity, givings to as many people. Pure religion and undefiled is this, the Bible says, to care for the poor and the needy. There has to be someone around your life who needs your help. At every level of your life, you are better than somebody. At every level, whilst you are still trusting God to go higher, I announce to you authoritatively that your current position is someone else's prayer point. And right where you are, you can do something. You can do something. You can feed one person. You can preach to one person. You can clothe one person and tell him, this is with love from Jesus to you. From Jesus to you. He only passed through me to demonstrate the benevolence of the kingdom. Who is learning? Practice these six keys, and you would have found a key to preserving the move of God and extending the same to another generation. Please go back and listen to tonight's teaching again. It is a secret that I found by the Spirit of God. I can tell you, show me believers who walk in keeping with these principles. They have found the key that keeps the fire burning. Burning so that it never dies. Rise up on your feet. Give me oil in my lamp. Let my light never be dim. Keep me burning, keep me burning. Until the coming of the King. Give me oil in my lamp. Let my light never be dim. Keep me burning, keep me burning. Until the coming of the King. I need oil in my lamp. Let my light never be dim. Keep me burning, keep me burning. Until the coming of the King. Lord, I need oil in my lamp. Let my light never be dim. Keep me burning, keep me burning. Until the coming of the King. Hallelujah. Please, Pastor Nat, can I invite you to just come and speak and make declarations? We always end up the service by doing this impartation, and I want you to be very attentive right now. Graces are falling in this place for the next 2 to 5 minutes, and then we are done. I will invite Pastor Nat. He's going to be stirring up that well upon worshipers. Prophetic worshippers, new songs, new sounds. Let it come by the Spirit. He's a man that God has invested a deposit of His grace. Let me tell you something about Pastor Nat, not to flatter or patronize. One of the things that make me love him so much is not just the skill, the excellence, the dexterity, and the artistry, but the fact that he is so versatile in the word. If you don't come close to him, you will be beguiled. You will think that all he does is to play the trumpet. The depth of the word that is resident within this man is noteworthy and very inspiring. There is almost nothing he will tell you without showing you a scripture connected to it. It's the reason why there's longevity of impact for him. And I want him to release that grace from the fountains, the residue of his covenant with God. He's going to pray and make that declaration. And let me ask, perhaps just two people for sake of time. Pastor Dele, may I request that you come up so that after Pastor Nat, you just make a declaration. Apostle Paul Ame, can I ask you to come? Let me ask Reverend Akila, please come also. Just 1 minute each to make declarations and then we wrap up. Pastor Nat, please. As God has placed in your spirit, please go ahead and release it upon everyone who needs to receive. That includes those who are following. This can be your moment to receive. I'm not just talking of a worshipper's anointing. The fear of the Lord, the depth of consecration that leads a man to virgin dimensions with God. This is a man that God has raised. He speaks about me being a sign and a wonder. No, I'm not alone. We are together. He's raised us in various capacities to be signs and wonders to the nation. Please, go ahead, sir.
Can you lift your hands, every shout carrier, every psalmist? The number one prayer I'm going to pray is I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do something in your heart. I have found out that when a music minister misses it in the heart, they miss it in their acts.
Absolutely.
Lift your hands. In your own words, you will cry out that the Holy Spirit will brood upon your heart. Your intent, your desires. That He will set you, He will try your reins. Open your mouth, say, Holy Spirit, have your way in my heart. Do a work. Take away craftiness. Take away pride. I want to be authentic. We don't fake the presence of God. Open your mouth. Do something. Say, Holy Spirit, shed abroad in my heart true love for Jesus. I don't want to use Him. For these people honor me with their lips, their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. Open your mouth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just like you did to me years ago, do for someone here tonight. Lord, draw them and let them run after you. Not after fame, not after the stage, not even after new songs. We don't seek new songs. Songs are an overflow of your love work. Thy statutes have become my songs. You love Him, you love His word, you love His presence. And then that well begins to rise. Just lift your hands as I pray over you now. For God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Lord, the grace to seek you, to desire your presence, to desire to live for you alone, I release now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And for those of you who will seek after Him, I declare that the Sovereign Lord has given you the tongue of the land. You know how to speak words and sing songs in season to him that is weary. He wakes you morning by morning. He wakes you to hear as the land. I release you to supernatural encounters that will further establish this truth in your heart. May you fear the Lord. May you love the Lord. May you know the Lord. I declare your heavens open. And I speak to psalmists in Scotland.
Hallelujah.
In the UK. It's your season to articulate the revival that is happening in this land already. May songs of the Spirit, songs of the Lord, prophetic songs, songs of deliverance, flow like a river from this land to the nations of the earth. In the name of Jesus, be fruitful, multiply, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, very quickly, I forgot, how many of you came with your prayer requests? I was going to omit that. Will you follow the instructions if I gave you to quickly move it to the extreme left or the extreme right? Ushers, while the other ministers are ministering, we can do that by a lot. But if you cooperate by moving your prayer request very quickly to the extreme left, the person on the extreme row, the left or the right, you make it easy for the ushers to pick that. We can get that done in 2-5 minutes max while the ministers are speaking. We'll just pray on this. We'll soon be done. It's a final night. You are receiving something. You are making a bargain with destiny that you will live to thank God for. If you are yet to write one or two things, can I give you 1 minute very quickly? Make sure you're not distracted. I'm going to allow the men of God to speak just for a minute each over your life. If you're still writing, make that quickly. It's a sign of faith. But let me have your attention. We have to redeem the time. Yes, sir. Please go ahead. Apostle Paul, Ame, we'll start with you, and then Pastor, and then Pastor Dele. Just to make a declaration, please receive whilst you are writing. Go ahead, sir.
Lord, according to your word in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 27, you said, by your manifold mercy, you raised saviors to deliver them from their enemies. By this sound of revival, I declare, let saviors be raised in this house. In the name of Jesus. Saviors that will bring deliverance from their enemy. Saviors that will bring deliverance in families, in systems, in politics. Lord, by your grace, let the saviors be raised in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare by the mercy of God that this land receive deliverance in the name of Jesus. Let there be revivals in our ministry, in our family, in our finances, in the name of Jesus Christ. I challenge every demonic dream that affects your physical progress, every demonic dream that manipulates your expectation. By the power of God, those dreams are canceled and your deliverance is released in the name of Jesus Christ. We command right now, let there be a release of grace for supernatural happenings in the name of the living God. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Amen and amen. Pastor Akila, please go ahead. Hallelujah. We're still receiving. Make sure your heart is open to receive. Yes, sir.
In Jesus' name. Father, we ask you concerning every emerging revivalist, the grace to stay, the grace to go through process, the grace to wait to be endured. Set us free from distractions, things that take us out of your presence, that until we receive the fullness of your Spirit. May the cry of everyone here tonight be granted today in Jesus' name. Multiply your grace to every delegate, to every participant, online and on site. Let the heavens be poured out
without limits to everyone in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle.
Thank you, sir.
Shall we lift up our hands? All I heard in my spirit before Apostle asked me to come up is that there are 50 people here that the Lord is raising as prophetic intercessors for the United Kingdom. Please wait. And as we lift up our hands, the power of God is going to come upon 50 of you so that you know that that is your assignment for the next 1 year. And that assignment is to intercede for the United Kingdom. And you are not going to do it in your power. There's a spirit of grace and of supplication that is coming upon you right now. And if you are one of the 50, wherever you are, receive grace now. Receive grace now. Receive grace now. So that you know it's you. The power of God is on you now. And the number is specific. There are only 50 people. Because I know when we are under this kind of atmosphere, so many things are happening simultaneously. But my concern is those 50 people. And the reason why the Lord is identifying you publicly without impartation is that your job is clear for the next 1 year. Because Apostle has released something here and there's a need to underpin it with a notion of intercession that is powered by the Spirit of God. And that is the grace you are receiving. So I unleash on you that grace. Let it rise from within you. The power to intercede. The power to speak the word of God prophetically, accurately, is on you. That you will not rest until this revival is established. It will wake you up at night. It will make you to be sleepless. You will pray during the day. You will pray at night. You will pray at all times. Because the grace to intercede is on you. And if you are one of those 50, and the Lord has taught you tonight, please don't waste that spiritual capital. It is something that is very important for the next phase of the move of God in the United Kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap for all of them. Can we have the prayer request very quickly? Everyone, please pray in the spirit for the next 1 minute. Let's have the prayer request. Let's have the prayer request, everyone. Ushers, can we have it, please, very quickly? The many we can gather, that will be fine. Any other person who is not able to drop, you can just lift it as an act of faith. We have to work with time. Very quickly. Please, everyone, let's pray in the spirit. Don't be distracted. Let's pray in the spirit. You are receiving. Ushers, if you are not able to get from the overflows, that's fine. Those in the overflows, you can just lift your requests and we'll pray on them very quickly. Because we need to do the final prophetic act and then we're done. Please bring it very quickly. As we worship in your presence, there is healing. The Holy Spirit's gentle touch is flowing, Jesus. We believe. Jesus, there is healing in your name. As we worship in your presence, there is healing. The Holy Spirit's gentle touch is flowing, Jesus. There is healing in your name. Sing Jesus, Jesus. We believe. Jesus. There is healing in your name. Please stretch your hands by faith.
Pastor Nat, please can I invite you, sir? Stretch your hands by faith. We are agreeing. We are praying. God has granted us the grace to minister in this conference. The anointing is upon us. We are standing in faith. We are going to pray, and Pastor Nat is going to blow over this, and let that be the end of this captivity. In 1 minute, go ahead and pray. Shaliga brandos kiatapros kilakatos. Come on, go ahead and pray, everyone. We are praying over this by the anointing of the Spirit. There is nothing He's not able to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are interceding over this. We are interceding over this request. Represents the desires of your people, their needs. We pray and we cry that you arise as the God of wonders. Turn around your captivity like the stream of the Negev. Shalaka branda gabaraka tabragata belege barata katos. Shale samarantos kubrandige belege paradox. Oh yes, we decree and declare. We decree and declare. Answers to prayer. Speedy answers to prayer. Answers of restoration, healings, liftings, jobs, marriages, children, open doors, spiritual fire, increases on all sides, longevity. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to ask Pastor Nat to blow over it. Blowing of the shofar is a seal that everything that is buried here tonight remains buried forever. And everything that is given access to find expression in your life tonight, it will find unrestrained access in the name of Jesus. Yes, sir. Praise the name of the Lord. Unto thee that answers prayer shall all flesh come. In Jesus' name, I decree and declare, we agree here by the power of the Holy Spirit, that these Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more forever. Shout like you are believing. You will see them no more forever. May God raise helpers for you. May God raise lifters for you. May God raise endorsers for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Shout a believing amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. My final function tonight is to give an opportunity for the altar call. Please, no movement. Let's respect the altar call for the next 1 minute. When I'm done with the altar call, I speak the final blessings just to give you two instructions, and then we're going to have 10 minutes of prophetic worship with Pastor Nat to seal Sound of Revival UK 2025. Oh, by the way, let me tell you, by the grace of God, we are here for the Sunday service. We'll be hosting it in UK. So if you are yet to register for the Sunday service, we have to do that. We have about 4,000 people now, but we'll ask them to open the door for a few people, maybe 500 or 1,000 at most. So if you are yet to register for the Sunday service, if there's the link there, please register very quickly so that we can make arrangements with the facility people. We're here 5 p.m. on Sunday. Koinonia is going to be hosted here, from here to the nation. So Glasgow, UK is hosting Koinonia for this Sunday. Make sure everyone you know and love is connected, and make sure as much as possible you are here. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Everyone who needs Jesus, you need to make it right with Jesus. We cannot talk about revival
revival fire without one individual at least coming to Jesus. And you are saying, Apostle, I don't want to leave this place, ramping up this conference, without making my decision for Jesus. Wherever you are, for your sake, we'll delay for a few minutes to allow you make your way very quickly. Now, let me request that in coming, you pick your bags, your Bibles, whatever you came to church with, and then please make your way to the front. I'm going to be counting 1, 2, 5. I want someone who is honest, who is bold, who is sincere, who means business with Jesus. No playing games, no playing church. You've been convicted by the Holy Spirit. Please don't stop anyone who is coming here for the altar call. The overflow, for sake of distance, you may just walk to your LED screens. And those online, please connect and be prepared as I lead the people to pray. I'm counting 1 to 5. Please leave your seat. And as bold as you can, in a hurry, run to the altar. 1. Let's celebrate them as they come. 2. God bless you. Come on, Koinonia, keep clapping. Keep clapping until the final person is here standing. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. Keep coming. 3. Are you celebrating salvation? For one last time for tonight, we're presenting these ones as a trophy to Jesus. I see some of you running. God bless you. Make haste. Come. 4. Those who are connected online, here's your chance to make Jesus Lord of your life. He's able to give you new life. You can start afresh. You can start again. Doesn't matter how your life has been before now. He's able to give you a new beginning. In the name of Jesus. Come. Come. God bless you. Come. God bless you.
Salvation. We have received by grace.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's celebrate the Lord for this wonderful harvest tonight. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for making this bold decision for Jesus. Now let me request, I know you are feeling your form now. May I request that you suspend it for a while so that I lead you to pray the salvation prayer. I need your attention whilst you're praying. When you're done, you'll be required to fill the form, or if you care, there will be a QR code displayed and you can make do with that alternative. Particularly for those who are following online, please take advantage of the QR code to take you to the link where you fill your details. We'll receive it, follow up on you, and then we'll pray. Thank you very much for making this noble decision. Children, I see young children, very small children. This is a prophetic representation of what God is already doing in Glasgow. In the name of Jesus. Lift your right hand and I have the honor of leading you to Jesus. Please pray this loud, repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I love you with all my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you for these ones. The Bible declares, as many who come to you, you will in no wise cast away. They have come declaring your lordship over their lives. I declare grace upon you. The power to live the victorious Christian life is hereby imparted upon your life. You go from glory to glory and grace to grace, loving Jesus and serving him all the days of your life. For in Jesus' matchless name, I pray.
Amen and amen. Thank you very much. Please look to my right. There's a package that will be delivered to you. The package that is lifted, as you see. Every one of you, please accept it. It's a gift from Jesus through us to you. And I'll request that you move to my left. That will be your right. The counselors will be waiting to have a word and a quick prayer with you. Thereafter, you return to your seat. God bless you. Let's honor them as they go. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone. Are you clapping?
The Son of God is needed. The Son of God is needed.
Keep clapping as they go.
In Glasgow, Jesus is lifted.
The Son of God is lifted.
In Scotland, Jesus is lifted. The Son of God is lifted.
Finally approaching the end of tonight's service, and that ends the Sound of Revival UK 2025. It's been three impactful, life-transforming sessions. Now let me encourage everyone, please go on our YouTube page, Koinonia Global. Do well to get the teachings that relate to the various areas of concern. Every week we display the teachings for the week. Make sure you are attentive, listen to them for your spiritual edification. And if you're yet to connect to any of our social media platforms, go ahead, you're at liberty to connect that of the UK and then Koinonia Global. I want to thank every servant of God, every man, every woman of God who made the time for this conference, whether they are here present or otherwise, particularly Dr. Dele Osumakinde, Reverend Akila, Apostle Paul Ame. They've been here for all the sessions. May the Lord bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to, before I appreciate Pastor Nat, let me appreciate his wife alongside the team that came all the way from Abuja. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you for making that sacrifice. Thank you for taking care of Pastor Nat for us. Thank you, Bumi and the team. The Lord bless you. The Hallelujah Challenge team that came all the way. May God bless you in the name of Jesus. Koinonia, Glasgow, what do we tell Pastor Nat? Come on, what do we tell Pastor Nat? What do we tell this wonderful man of God? Hallelujah. Pastor Nat, thank you. Thank you. It's lovely serving Jesus with you. Let me say this. Our next stop would be the Barclays Center in New York. So for those who are able to make it, make sure you plan. Sound of Revival US will be at the Barclays Center. The dates, do you have the bill? You don't have it, media? If you have it, please put it up. Let's have it quickly so they can see the dates. Registration is ongoing. We decided to break it into phases so that we don't have people just registering arbitrarily. So you have it. If we have it projected, that's fine. Else, just know that we're at the Barclays Center. Listen for the official announcement. And it will be a wonderful time. We're trusting God to do an extraordinary thing in New York. And then we're in Calgary for Canada by the power of the Holy Spirit. A few days after New York, we fly into Calgary. And it's going to be a powerful time. And then for those of you who care to know, we are going to have our first official convention as a ministry. It's going to be in Abuja and it will be in the month of November. November. So we'll announce, make sure we'll give you the dates and all the arrangements so that you plan. All roads lead to Abuja. It's going to be the Koinonia Global Convention
It will be an awesome time. 4 or 5 days of feasting with the word, worship, miracles, a time of repositioning by the Spirit. If you're excited already, give Jesus a big hand clap. For some of you who have refused to come back home, here's a legitimate reason to visit home. You can kill 2 birds with 1 stone, the conference and your family. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't worry about witches and wizards. You are safe. You are very, very safe in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Please help me appreciate our lovely Koinonia UK workforce. Please honor these precious people. Every department, thank you so much for giving your best. These people have worked tirelessly, giving their all. I pray that the Lord will bless, the Lord will honor you. Praise the name of the Lord. Our team who traveled from US, traveled from Abuja, give them a big God bless you. Traveled from Canada, may the Lord bless you. We came with a lot of leaders, about 20 of them. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Is it alright if we wrap up the service now? Please stand on your feet. Let me speak the final blessing and then I hand the mic over to Pastor Nat. And then it's going to be 10 minutes of uncensored praise. You're going to dance as a seal to everything that the Lord has done. While enjoying your time as you walk back home, prepared to be an extension of this revival fire. And that in the name of Jesus, you will not be a victim of sleep and slumber that leads to spiritual decline in the name of Jesus. I speak the blessing over your life. I declare you are blessed in the city. You are blessed in the country. I pray for your prayer life. In the name of Jesus, let the prayer fire fall upon you now. Let the prayer fire fall afresh. Like Pastor Nat prayed, I declare that your passion for Jesus is multiplied exponentially. You will love Jesus with all your heart. You will serve him all the days of your life. I pray for your appetite for the word. It will not go down in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. From hence, your going out is blessed. Your coming in is blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. No weapon fashioned against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, let it fall in judgment. I decree a mark of honor upon your head. Everywhere you go, you are preferred. Everywhere you go, you are favored. The works of your hands are blessed. None of you will die this year. You will live the fullness of your days. Trouble is far from you. You are late for tragedy. It will be good news every day in the name of Jesus. Those in need for jobs, may God give you jobs. Miracle marriages, miracle children, miracle homes in the name of Jesus Christ. Together as a family of faith, what do we shout? Hallelujah. 7 times, one last time. You will shout it with all your heart. And at the 7th time, let's share the grace before we shout the hallelujah. So that once you are done with the 7th shout, I'll just give you my final salutations and clear the way for Pastor Nat to lead us through this moment of worship, to just say thank you to Jesus and put a seal upon our miracle. Those following online, let's give them a big God bless you. How could we forget them? Thank you. Thank you, Koinonia Global, across all the nations of the earth. We're honored to have you join us through all of these sessions. And by the way, let's give the facility managers a big God bless you. SEC Arena facility managers, thank you for your cooperation. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for everything. It was wonderful working with you. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. Who's ready to shout hallelujah 7 times? Praise the name of the Lord. I'll prompt you and then we shout from the depth of your heart. Let it be a seal to everything that you have received. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Let's go. Hallelujah. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, let it rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely God's goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. By the way, let me say this. Please look to when we're coming next to Glasgow. It may not be a Koinonia program, for instance. I'll be in Leicester sometime before the year is ended, preaching for Pastor Daly. So you look forward, all of you who are in Leicester, I want to see you there. Look forward to the announcement. And there are a few other meetings that would bring us to the UK. And so whenever we're around, make sure you're available. And let's enjoy grace, enjoy wisdom, and learn the ways of God together. Have you been blessed tonight? I love you with all my heart. Thank you for making the sacrifice. See you next year. Sound of Revival UK or any other program we'll be hosting this year. The Lord bless you. Pastor Nat, over to you in Jesus' name.